Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. I want to thank you for calling in tonight to my Q&A or question and answer phone call. If you have a question for me, all you need to do is press star 6 and then I'll be glad to unmute your line so you can ask your question. I've already got some people have pressed star 6. So I'm going to start with that. And then if you'd prefer, you can send an email to Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at PanamaRelocationTours.com. It'd be better if you press star 6, though, to ask your question. Let me start here with the very first one. I don't know your name. All I know are area codes. So I have area code 216. I've unmuted your line. You can go right ahead with your question.
Hi, Jackie. I just had a quick question. I was wondering how the bugs are in Panama. Like, are mosquitoes a big issue there or anything like that?
Well, it depends on where you live in Panama. You know, and it's been my – I live in Boquete up in the mountains, and we don't have a bug problem at all. My house is at about 4,600 feet, and I leave my windows and doors wide open. I don't have flies. I don't have mosquitoes or any of those things. But – and when I go to the Pacific side or in Panama City, I don't have any problems. But if I go to anywhere on the Caribbean side, I come away looking like I have chicken pox, even if I put on insect repellent. So for some reason, it's a bigger problem on the Caribbean side.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. The next caller is from area code 623. Go right ahead.
I'm thinking of moving to Panama with my wife. I am 78 years young and have diabetes and a few other conditions, not fatal. Am I able to get health insurance or to get together with a hospital directly with whatever their plan may be?
Well, yes, you're going to be able to get health insurance. And also, you know, just going to a regular doctor in Panama is about $10 to $12, maybe $15 for a regular doctor. That's with no insurance. If you go to a specialist, it's going to be about $30 to $40, and that's the cost without insurance. A hospital stay at a private hospital is about with the emergency room is about $25 an hour without insurance. With pre-existing conditions, many of the like international health insurance companies like United Healthcare, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they will exclude you for the first year. But also they have age restrictions that they won't write any new health insurance policies if you're over like 72 or 74. However, there are some companies in Panama that they have no age restrictions and no pre-existing conditions, but they do say with the pre-existing conditions that they won't cover any of the cost in the first year. And if you don't have any complications, then they'll cover you in the second year. You will be able to get health insurance, but for any of your pre-existing conditions, they won't be covered the first year.
Are there any plans directly with various private hospitals that you can have with the hospital itself?
Yes, there's two different kinds. One is through a company called MS Panama. M like Mary, S like Sam Panama, and it's through Pan American Life. It's like a medical reimbursement plan, so they cover about 85% of the cost, and that is one of the plans that does not have an age restriction, and they cover pre-existing conditions after the first year. The other thing you can do is the private hospitals. It's only $1.50 to see a doctor at one of the private one of the public hospitals, and it's about $5 a day if you're admitted into the hospital. And some of the public hospitals, especially like in Volcan and Chitre and some of the other places, they do have a special plan that if you have a lot of pre-existing conditions or chronic conditions, then they have a $10 a month plan that you can join, and then you get a 90% discount off of any of the prescriptions that you need. So bottom line is you have a lot of choices for extremely affordable health insurance in Panama. Even if you self-insure, it's much more affordable. But even getting insurance, you have several different choices regardless of your age or regardless of your pre-existing conditions. The most affordable is going to be going through the public hospitals. So I hope that answers your question. Yeah, if anybody else has a question, all you need to do is press *6 on your phone, and that puts you in the queue so that I can unmute your line and answer your question. We also have some questions that have already been emailed in. You're welcome to send an email to Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at Panama Relocation Tours, and I'll be glad to answer your question for you. So Sandy sent in a question about what's the best way to get cellular service in Panama, and should you purchase an iPhone that's unlocked when you come down, or can you buy them here? You can. There's five different cell phone companies in Panama, and different ones are good, better than others, depending on where you're going to be living. So to answer your question on which one is best, it depends on where you're going to be living. They do have iPhones available in Panama. I don't know what they cost in the United States because I haven't been there in a really long time, but they're quite expensive here, like $500-$600. Compared to an Android, which is more in the $60 to $300 range for an Android. So they do have iPhones that are readily available here. They are unlocked, but they're quite expensive at $500. Maybe that's what they cost in the United States now. I don't know. And then as far as the plans, you can just pay as you go, or you just add minutes as you need talking time. I have a plan that's $30, and there's no contracts that you have to sign, no long-term contracts. But I have a plan that's $30 a month, which gives me, I think, 5 megabits of data and 500 minutes in talking time, and I never use up the data or the talking time. And if you need less than that, they do have $15 a month plans also. But once again, that's just month to month. And so there's no long-term contract. Another good thing is if you decide for some reason you want to switch to cell phone companies in Panama, you can keep your same number with you. So that's a big plus, too. I hope that answers your question. Okay, I'm going to go to our next caller, area code 904. I've just unmuted your line. Go right ahead.
Jackie, that was me, Sandy. You just answered my question about the phone. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye. Next caller is area code 605. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes, I was wondering how Social Security works with living in Panama and receiving Social Security from the U.S.
So you can get your Social Security checks deposited directly into a Panama bank account if you choose to do that. The bank will have some forms that you fill out. There's also a Social Security office at the U.S. Embassy here in Panama City. So you can do that. Some people choose to continue having their Social Security check deposited into a bank account in the United States. And then to get the money here to Panama so you have money to live on, you've got two choices. One is you can just use an ATM machine to get access to your money. There's a limit of $500 a day, and it's a pretty hefty fee of $5 every time you use your ATM card on the Panama side, and then whatever the costs are on the U.S. side also. The other thing you can do, if you have a Panama bank account, you're allowed to write a check from your U.S. bank and deposit that directly into your Panama bank account. You can do up to $3,000 a month in checks, or one check or multiple checks, up to $3,000 per month that you can deposit on a U.S. check into your Panama bank account. It does take about 10 days to 14 days for it to clear, and different banks have different fees, but it'll cost between $3 to $5 for that check to clear. But at least you can get more than just $500 at one pop, so that's a good way to go.
Okay,
does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Okay. Next caller is from area code 469. Go right ahead with your question.
Jackie, this is Charlie and Brenda. We were on your January tour. And,
hey, Charlie.
How are you doing? Enjoyed it very much, but as much as we enjoyed Vulcan and Bacchetti, I think our lifelong dream is to watch the ocean. So my question is, what area would you recommend us starting to look in? If we decide to buy, I want to try to keep it in the 200,000 to 220,000 range and looking for like a two-bedroom that is pet-friendly, house or condo.
Uh-huh.
So up and down the beach, where should I start looking?
It's, you know, if you're around Coronado and Gorgona, the prices for condos are going to be more expensive than what you're wanting to spend. There are some single-family homes that you may be able to get in that $200,000 price point. I would recommend San Carlos, S-A-N-C-A-R-L-O-S, is a good place to look. And then as far as even more availability, if you're in the Chiriquí province, just a little bit west of David, there's a beach neighborhood called Las Olas Beach, O-L-A-S. And they have condos there, three-bedroom, two-bath condos facing the ocean. They're quite large, and they're in that 160 to 180 price point. Also around Las Lajas, which is a little bit east of David, about 1 hour east of David, they're building some new condos right now. I haven't seen them. I've just seen pictures of them. And I heard they're in that 185 price range, too, for brand new condos. And, of course, there's single-family homes that are in both of those areas as well. The further you get away from Panama City, the more affordable things are going to get. But if you want the convenience of being close to Panama City, San Carlos would probably be your best bet.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. If anybody else has a question, all you need to do is press star 6, and I will be glad to unmute your line. Let me check the emails and see if anybody's sent in another email. I've got about three different emails that came in about what the new rules are for immigration. I've got two more people that have questions. I'll get to those questions in just a minute. First, let me explain that the immigration laws in Panama have always been that as a tourist, you can stay in Panama for 180 days. And if you want to stay longer than that, you have to get a residency visa. When we do our tours, I always recommend that everybody get a visa if you're planning to live in Panama full time. The other crazy thing about the immigration rules in Panama are that if you are driving as a tourist in Panama, you can only stay for 90 days. Previously, Panama was pretty lenient about it, and they would let people just go over tourists. They would let tourists go over to Costa Rica for 3 or 4 days and then get stamped back into Panama to start their tourist status all over again for another 90 days or 180 days. But that all changed on the 6th of March whenever Panama basically said they were fed up with people that have been living in Panama for 2, 3, 4, 5 years or even longer, and they've just been perpetual tourists. So they just do the border hop all the time, and they never have gotten around to getting a visa. So they really put their foot down on the 6th of March, and they said that any tourists that are here longer than 90 days if you're driving or 180 days if you're not, that they have to leave the country for at least 30 days before they can come back in. And then my attorney is saying that if they're only going to allow them to do that 30 days out for two times if they're living here full time, and then they're going to have to get a visa. Now, if you're what we call a snowbird, someone from Canada or up north that just wants to come down, you know, for 3 or 4 months at a time to get away from the cold weather and the snow up north, then there's no problem. You can stay here as a tourist for 6 months, and then you can go back to Canada for 6 months and come back for 6 months. But if you're going to continue to live in Panama you really need to get a residency visa. The two most popular visas, there's many, many different visas, but the two most popular visas are the pensionado visa, which is for people that are planning to come to Panama and be completely retired. They don't want to work. They're not going to sell any products or services, and you have to have a lifetime income of at least $1,000 a month for one person or $1,250 a month for a couple to qualify for the pensionado visa. Another visa that's very popular for those people that maybe they don't want to retire, that they would like to work, or they don't qualify for the lifetime income like Social Security, the other visa option is called the Friendly Nations visa. With that visa, you do not have to prove any income at all, other than you have to open up a Panama bank account and you have to deposit $5,000 in the bank account for one person. If it's a couple or a family, you have to have $2,000 deposited for each additional dependent. Now, that money does not have to stay in there forever. As soon as you get your visa, you can start spending the money. I would suggest you leave the account open, but you can start spending the money. So those are the two most popular visas. Many people say, well, you know, I don't get Social Security yet. I want to wait till I'm 70 to draw it, but I want to take advantage of all those super-duper discounts that they've heard about with the pensionado visa. The discounts are things like 25% off your electric bill, 25% off airfare that originates in Panama, 50% off at the movie theater, 20% off at nice restaurants, 10% off at pharmacies. The list goes on and on of the different discounts that you get. The great news is, regardless of which visa that you get, so long as you meet the age requirements, which are 55 if you're a woman or 60 if you're a man, then you're still going to qualify for all of those discounts, even if you get the Friendly Nations visa. Don't worry that you can still get the discounts if you qualify for the age requirements. Okay, let me take the next caller from area code 216. Go right ahead with your question.
Hi, Jackie. It's Jim again. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Jim?
Good. So we're actually going to be coming down in June to check things out. And unfortunately, I found out about your tour after we had everything booked. But it kind of looks like we're doing almost exactly what your tour does, working our way from Panama City and over toward Boquete and then flying back out and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just wondering, what do we need to be aware of? Like, how much cash should we be bringing? Can we bring credit cards to use? And
you can bring Visa and MasterCard are readily accepted at hotels. Most restaurants are cash only. So definitely bring a debit card so that you can get access to cash. I would recommend that you have, and even some hotels are only cash, depending on which ones that you're staying in. I would recommend that you bring about $200, if it's a couple that's coming, bring about $200 a day for however many days that you're planning to be here, unless you have ready access to cash from a debit card. Now, I should warn you, if you don't call your bank and let them know that you're coming to Panama, the first time you try to use that debit card, it's going to be blocked, and you'll never be able to use it again until you call them and tell them, it's okay, it's okay. So that's an important thing that you need to be aware of. The other thing is, don't speed. They're very strict about speeding in Panama, so be light on that gas pedal, and don't drink while you're driving. They're very strict about that too.
Okay, fantastic. I thought I just read something too, that is it a law that you have to carry your passport on you as well? Like,
absolutely,
you
have to carry your passport with you at all times.
Okay. Okay, that's fantastic.
I would say take a picture of the photo page on your passport and keep it on your cell phone just in case you lose your passport. You'll still have a picture of it that you could contact the embassy and get a replacement. But you do have to carry your real passport with you at all times.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Jackie.
And most of them will not recognize the little passport card. Some will, but some won't. Most people want to see the actual passport, and especially right now, because they want to see the date when you got stamped into the country.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Thanks for your question. Okay, the next caller is area code 623. Go right ahead.
I have two related questions, Jackie. This is Barry again. I'm a long-term 20-year retiree, and I spend a lot of time reading and on the Internet. The research I've done show find a maximum Internet speed of 9 Mbps anywhere in Panama or outside of Panama City. And I wonder about
that's
the
not,
use of libraries with English books. Thank you.
Barry, the Internet speed that is not accurate at all, you can get up to 50 megabits of Internet speed. 25 megabits is very common. If you're living in a metropolitan area, if you live way out in the boonies, then you might only get 3 to 10. But if you live in a town, then you can easily get 25 megabits of Internet speed. And if you're willing to pay the price, you can get up to 50 megabits of Internet speed. And it depends on where you're living, but some of the public libraries have a whole floor of books, magazines, and movies that are in English. Some of the stores here sell magazines that are and newspapers that are in English. And of course, you should get a Kindle before you come, because you can get a book just instantly off of Amazon and have it right on your Kindle that you can read in English. Okay.
Well, I hate to show my technological stupidity, but can you get everything in Panama through the Internet or the Kindle that you would get in the USA?
Yes. Yes. In newspapers and everything.
Okay. You've answered my questions. See you in October.
Sounds good. Okay, our next question is area code 815. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. We're very interested in coming for a year, first coming on your tour, but then coming for a year and renting, just like you say in all your information. However, we have 3 dogs. Does anybody rent?
Well, and also, you're not going to be able to stay for 1 year. You'd have to, you could only stay for as much as 6 months.
Okay.
Unless you get a visa, you can only stay for 6 months.
Okay. All right, let's assume we get a visa. I mean, we're very serious, so we'll get a visa.
Yeah, if you get a visa, you can stay as long as you want to. But bringing dogs down is no problem at all.
Would somebody rent somebody for 3 dogs? With 3 dogs? I mean, I understand there would be an extra amount to pay and all that good stuff, but is that even possible?
Sure. A lot of people don't have any limits on the number. Some places do have limits on how many pets. Some places say no pets. But there's a lot of places that you can. I know one lady that just got through renting a house, and she brought 6 dogs with her. So there are places that you can rent with 3 dogs with no problem.
Okay. Thank you very much. I just didn't even know if that was at all possible, really.
It's possible. Yep, it's possible.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, the next question is area code 206. Go right ahead.
Hi, it's Debbie from Seattle.
Debbie.
A question. I've emailed you a couple times already. I have a question about how Panamanians view an older white woman. I'm sola. And I'll be traveling by myself, I'll be living by myself, and I'll probably be, you know, getting guides to go birding and hiking and things like that once I'm in Panama. What is their view in terms of that? And also, as a person ages in Panama, what is their perspective on elderly people in Panama?
Well, I can tell you, regardless of how old you are, you might get whistled at in Panama.
Okay.
Men just like to whistle at women. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or if you're 88. Men whistle at women, so get used to it. The other thing, you know, there's going to be all kinds of groups that you can get involved in to go birding and hiking and sightseeing and little side trips and different things that you can get involved in to go do. So all of those things. And Panama, just like it is in all Latin American countries, they respect their senior citizens a lot. There's even a special line at the bank. If you're a jubilano, which is a senior citizen, for the senior citizens to go to the front of the line at the bank. If you go to the grocery store, there's not a special line at the grocery store, but if you go to the grocery store and there's like five people in line and they're all younger than you are, they're going to ask you to move ahead of them in front of the line. If someone sees you carrying a bunch of bags going across the street, someone's very likely to run up to you and say, "May I help you with your bags to get them to your car?" So seniors in Panama, whether you're an expat or Panamanian, are treated with great respect.
Thank you very much for that. And do they have some of the Spanish schools like other countries have in terms of being able to like maybe stay for – I'm thinking if I do the tour that I'd like to maybe stay and do a Spanish school and somehow stay and maybe work at the place where they have the school and volunteer to, you know, help with English while they're helping me with my Spanish.
Right. Well, you can't work in Panama without a work permit, but you can volunteer in Panama without a work permit. So that's no problem at all. They do have a variety of different Spanish schools throughout the country. Of course, like anywhere, some are better than others, but they do have a lot of different Spanish schools here. And they have immersion Spanish classes where you actually live with a Panamanian family to really get immersed into it also. So you have a lot of choices for learning Spanish.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, next question is area code 630. Go right ahead.
Yeah, my name's Randy. I have a twofold question. The first question is, in the U.S., I'm big into alternative health. So I can go in the health food store and I can get a herbal product or I can get a homeopathic product quite easily. What's my options in Panama? Can I purchase those like in Panama? Do I have to go to Panama City or can I get them over the internet from a U.S. company? What's my options? That's my first question.
You can get them over the internet from U.S. or Canadian companies. There's also places where you can go in Panama to purchase many of the different products that you might be interested in. We have a store called Organica, which is kind of like a miniature Whole Foods that has a pretty good selection of all kinds of gluten-free and organic products as well as
homeopathic remedies.
They do have some homeopathic. They also have a really big catalog. And if it's not in the store, if you just show them what you want, then they can usually get it in a couple of days for you.
Oh, that's great. And my second question is for the snowbirds who come down, what do they do? There's a short-term rental, or do they do Airbnb, or how do they, or do they just stay at a hotel? How do they manage those short-term hops?
Short-term rentals are readily available for 1 month, 2 months, or 3 months, especially during the what we call the high season, which is about the middle of December, all of January, February, and March, maybe into April. However, for those short-term rentals, they do charge a premium because it's a short-term rental. Most people don't stay in a hotel. They usually want to have a casita, a small house, or an apartment that they're going to rent. A lot of people that come in that are snowbirds, some of them come to the Boquete area where I am, but many of them go into the Coronado area and where, you know, it's really warm and nice beaches and beautiful Pacific Ocean views. So a lot of people that live up north, that's what they're looking for when they come here. And those condos are available for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. The longer the term is, the cheaper the rent's going to be. The shorter the term, the more expensive it's going to be. You can also look on VRBO or Airbnb, and you'll see places on there that they offer a discount for a three-month rental or four-month rental.
The other thing about the language there. You know, a lot of my friends here, you know, they're basically from Mexico, you know, so I'm familiar with the Mexican dialect. How does the Spanish dialect in Panama say?
It's a little bit different. Panamanian Spanish is a little bit different from Mexican Spanish. I'm from Texas, so I'm familiar with Mexican Spanish. Mm-hmm. But I should also tell you that Panama City Spanish is different than Boquete Spanish. And Boquete, Panama City is much more formal, and in Boquete it's much more casual. Even in the way people dress, is much more formal in Panama City, and it's much more laid back and relaxed over on the far western side. But you know, if you're familiar with the Mexican Spanish,
yes,
then you're going to pick right up on the Panamanian Spanish. Some of the words are going to be a little bit different, but you'll be able to figure it out with no problems.
Okay, cool. That's my main questions for now. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Next question is area code 702. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Dixie.
Hi.
My question is about snakes, spiders, ants, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the question?
Do you see very many in Boquete?
I don't. Well, I see spiders. I see spiders once in a while. Not in my house very often, but I do see spiders once in a while outside. I live on quite a bit of land, several acres of land, and in the 6 years that I've been here, I haven't seen a snake on my property at all. But part of that is because I'm at 4,600 feet where it's a little bit too cold for snakes. If I lived at a much lower elevation, like, you know, 1,500 feet or 1,000 feet, or then there might be more snakes. But in Boquete, I did see a snake crossing a road one time over by Caldera about 3 years ago. So it's not like you see snakes every day, that's for sure. I guess if you were out walking around and looking for them, that you could find them. But just in casual occurrences, I haven't seen them here. You know, there's not that many flying insects that are going to be biting you in the Boquete area, like flies or mosquitoes. You just don't see that very often. The only time we see flies is when the coffee plants are blooming. And there's white flowers all over the coffee plants, and that attracts coffee flies. And that lasts for about 2 weeks, and then they go away. You will occasionally, maybe twice a year, I do see a scorpion. It's little bitty scorpions. It's not the kind that can kill you, but when I see one, I just stomp on it.
Okay.
I'm not one of those people that's going to pick it up and gently take it outside and let it go. I just kill the darn thing.
Okay.
Sorry, but I don't want them to breed or get more scorpions.
Right. We're not having a scorpion farm, right?
Exactly.
What about ants?
When it's really rainy outside, like in October, especially in November, then you might see these little ant mounds that come up in your yard where they've gotten flooded out of their home and they come out. But the rest of the time, I don't ever see ants.
Okay, that's very helpful.
Well, I don't see them in my house at all, but I do see them outside occasionally.
Okay, as long as they're outside.
Yep. Now, if you're hiking in the jungle, you may see some more snakes, and you may see more bugs, but in the residential areas, you're not very likely to see them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome. Next question is area code 610. Go right ahead.
Hello, Jackie. This is Dwight from Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Dwight.
Hi. On the tour in February, you mentioned an excellent driving map available on Amazon, and I forget.
Yes, it's the one that has the green parrot on the front of it.
The green parrot? Okay. And
that's... And you can't go to a store and buy that in Panama. They do sell them They might have a couple of them for sale at the Tuesday market in Boquete, but it's crazy that you can't buy a really good map in Panama of Panama.
Yeah.
But you can get it on Amazon, and it's the one with the green parrot. That's the one you're looking for.
Right, I see that. As far as travel guides, like, you know, hot spots or where to go, where tourists go, like a
just look on TripAdvisor.
Like Frommer's or something like that.
Yeah, there's, the hot spots where tourists go, that's not necessarily where I want to go. I like to go off the beaten path.
Okay.
I want the beach that nobody knows about.
All right. Gotcha. Thanks, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Okay, next question is area code 623.
Hi, Jackie. It's Barry again. In order to take the tour, you don't require any visa-type things with the Panamanians, do?
It depends on what country that you're coming from. Where would you be coming from, Barry? From the United States?
Yes.
Yeah, from the U.S. or Canada, all you need is your passport. No visa.
Okay. Also, to receive mail, I understand there's no home delivery. How do you do that?
Instead, you have to get set up with a mail forwarding company here in Panama, and they'll give you an address in Miami. So you have all of your mail shipped to Miami, then it's picked up and it's brought to Panama. It comes in, like if you order something from Amazon, you'd have it shipped to Miami, and then it'd be in Panama 3 or 4 days later.
And where in Panama would you pick it up?
You'd have to pick it up in the city where you live, at the mail forwarding company's office. Not at the post office, at one of the mail forwarding companies, like Mailboxes, etc., Airbox Express, eShop, Uno Express. There's a lot of different companies that handle that, but it would be right in the city where you live.
Are they pretty much everywhere?
You have to go to their office to pick up the mail. They don't bring it to you.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Next question, area code 651. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, this is Bob. And you were talking about the visas. I was just wondering how expensive and how difficult it is to get a visa. I mean, I don't know if you addressed that or not, but maybe you could just summarize it.
Yeah, well, we talk about it in a lot of detail during the tour, but I'll give you a good overview. For anybody to get a visa, regardless of which visa it is, the first thing you're going to do is get in touch with an immigration attorney in Panama that'll give you a list of documents that you're going to have to get. Regardless of which visa you're going to get, you will have to have a national criminal report. So if you're from the United States, that means an FBI report, and that has to be authenticated by either the State Department or the Panamanian consulate. If you're married, you're going to need a certified copy of your birth certificate. And if it's the pensionado visa that you're applying for, you're going to need a letter from Social Security that says what your lifetime income is, and that also has to be authenticated. The cost for a couple to get a pensionado visa is about $1,400, $1,500 with the attorney that we use. If you use some other attorneys, we charge you as much as $5,000 or $6,000 for the same thing. But the attorney that we use during our tours gives everybody on our tours a big discount. So basically pays for the tour to be able to have access to our attorney, who only does work for the people that come on our tour. And the reason that it's so affordable for the pensionado visa is the government waives their fees, which add up to $1,050. Those are waived for pensionados because, once again, they give discounts to seniors on just about everything here, so even on getting their visa. And then it's a two-step process. The first time you come in, you have to come in, plan on coming into Panama for about 5 days. And during that time, you'll get your temporary visa. And it takes a couple of trips to the immigration office to get it. And then you'll have to come back about 3 or 4 months later, definitely within 6 months, to get your permanent visa, which is good forever. The only additional thing that's required if you're getting a friendly nation visa is, of course, you don't have to have that Social Security letter because you don't have to prove any income, but you do have to set up a Panama bank account, which we do that during the tour really fast, and so that expedites the whole process of getting a bank account set up. And then and there is an additional $1,050 fee to get the Friendly Nation visa because the government fees are not waived for that one. But regardless of which one you're going to get, you have to get an FBI or a National Criminal Report.
Okay, and then also, is it pretty easy to get a car and just, you know, buy a car down there and get a license
yeah.
and all that and travel with a car?
Yeah, it's very easy to get a car in Panama, and I would recommend buying a car here instead of bringing your car with you. You, of course, you can go to a new car dealership or used car dealership, but to make it super, super easy, many of the different towns have an expat that you can contact that's called a car broker. We have several of them in the Boquete area, and with a car broker, kind of like a real estate agent, you tell them, you know, what it is you're looking for, like a small SUV, automatic transmission, and about how much money that you want to spend. Within usually 24 or 48 hours, they'll have two or three different cars for lined up for you to look at and for you to test drive. And if you pick one of those cars that you like, then they'll take care of getting all the paperwork to get the title transferred over into your name. And the other great thing about it is that the seller pays their fees, so it doesn't cost you anything to use that broker.
Okay, and then last
question. I've bought two cars since I've been in Panama, and the process is really easy.
Okay, cool, and you need a driver's license, right?
Well, you have to have a, you know, you have to have a driver's license to be able to drive. You can drive on your U.S. or Canadian driver's license in Panama for 90 days, and that's it. Then you have to leave the country for at least 30 days. If you're getting your visa, then once you get your temporary visa, you can get a Panama driver's license. You can't get a Panama driver's license until you get your visa.
Okay, yep. The last question is,
and your immigration attorney will help you with the whole driver's license process.
Okay, and last question, what's currency?
It's the U.S. dollar.
Oh, it
is.
The
currency is the U.S. dollar. There are Panamanian coins that are interchanged and intermixed with the U.S. coins, but the paper money is all U.S. dollars.
Great. Thank you, Jackie.
You're very welcome. Okay, next question is area code 808.
Oh, good day, Jackie. This is John DeLee calling from Hawaii.
Hey, John. When are you coming back?
Happy St. Patrick's Day for you. Well, I'm actually going to be passing through just on business in June, so I won't have a lot of time there, but permanently I'm looking probably within the next year, probably later. Earlier next year, somewhere in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But
so,
yeah, that brings me to my question. I recently saw that you had the article about the government clamping down on the expats going across the border.
I talked about that at the beginning of the call. For people that do not have a visa. They are strictly enforcing that you can only stay in Panama 6 months and then you have to leave for 30 days
mm-hmm.
before you can come back. And you can only do that border hop of 30 days two times and then you have to get a visa. So luckily, I think you already have your visa, don't you, John?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Thanks for all your help with that. Yeah, that worked out.
You got your bank account, you got your visa, you're all set.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the question I had, though, are you seeing that are more rentals starting to open up as a result? Because you've indicated that could possibly be happening.
I haven't really noticed that I've seen more properties popping up for rent. But I did get a really good deal on buying one this week
oh.
because a lady that's not here, and she, because of her FBI report, was not able to get a visa. So she decided to sell her oceanfront property on 2.5 acres to me for $60,000 with $6,000 down and payments of $300 a month.
Oh, excellent. I'm assuming yet you may feel that that could be more along coming down the pike as a result, though?
I do think so. I do think we're going to see more rentals, and we're going to see some great deals on properties for sale in the next 3 months.
Okay, I understand. Okay, real good. I'll be checking back with you on that here probably fairly shortly then.
Sounds good, John. Good talking to you.
My pleasure always, John.
Next caller is area code 407. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Jerry. I talked to you on your last call. My question deals with we plan on coming. We're looking possibly in June, but we have some commitments to medical appointments in May and July, so we can't stay any longer. So we're looking at the tour in June and then maybe staying 3 weeks. Can we get a rental for that long, or are we going to have to stay in a hotel, and do you recommend one?
No. You can get a rental. June is an easy time. June, July, and August is an easy time to get a rental. You probably wouldn't be able to get one. I know some of them that are available for 3 weeks, but you may have to pay for a whole month of renting, and it would be cheaper than getting something for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yep.
But you can... Okay, that's good. We understand that, and we'll follow up with that.
Okay.
I'm taking Amazon shipments to your local mail forwarding service. We have a mail forwarding service out of Texas called Escapee, which is for RV.
Yeah, you don't want to use that. You don't want to use that at all. You can do this other one. It's so much more affordable if you're working with these companies in Panama.
Okay, so we set up the company in Florida, and we just
you set up everything with a company in Panama.
Okay,
and then the company in Panama will give you an address that's your dedicated address in Florida, usually in the Miami area, but you have to set it up with a Panamanian company. Any of those other companies charge much more than you would pay if you were set up with a Panamanian company.
Okay. Can we set that up there while we're on tour?
Yep. We're going to get it all set up during the tour.
Okay. We're just trying to iron out a few more details, and that was one of them.
Yep, and you may want to go ahead and get a bank account set up during the tour also. We'll help you with that as well. It only takes 1 hour with a special process that we have set up with some of the banks here. Usually it takes 5 days. It usually takes 5 days to open up a bank account in Panama, but we have a special system and special arrangements with some of the banks that we can get it done in about an hour, hour and a half at the most.
Oh. Okay. So we just give them a check from one of our other accounts, and they'll just process it?
No. We'll send you instructions on what you have to do. They won't take checks. They'll take checks after the account's opened up, but they open up the account, you have to do it with cash. But when we'll send instructions as we get closer to your tour.
Okay. We're actually closing a house March 30th, so we'll be able to book the tour right after that.
Great. Sounds wonderful. Look forward to meeting you.
Okay. You too. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question is area code 815.
Hi, thank you. I had another question. I talked to you before. I was the person with the dogs.
Yeah.
So,
don't worry. You're not limited to one or two questions. You can ask all you want when I do my Q&A call.
Okay, thank you. So this was my question. My husband is a little bit older than me, so he's already on Social Security. But I don't want to take early Social Security. So we're kicking around when we should go. I would be interested in maybe getting a little part-time job over there teaching English as a second language, da-da-da-da-da. But can a couple live in Boquete on $2,500 a month? This is after all the other paying for the visa, da da da, just kind of living.
Yes.
Is that even possible?
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. Yep.
Okay.
And that includes your rent and everything.
Okay. Okay. I thank you very much.
And just I might mention that it is possible that your husband may want to get the pensionado visa, and then you could get the friendly nations visa. You don't have to get the same visa.
We don't.
No.
Okay.
So he might want to get the pensionado visa. You can get the friendly nation visa. If you're at least 55 years old, you'll still qualify for all of the discounts, too, even with the friendly nation visa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I am at least that. He's asking me another question. One moment.
Just about the
should I, I'm taking the class on teaching English as a second language. Helping with that, I guess, as a second language, whatever it is. And he just asked me, do you have to get a work visa?
You do. If you're going to get paid to sell a product or service or to work in Panama, you do have to get a work permit. It's not called a work visa. You can get the Friendly Nations visa, but part of the Friendly Nation visa, it does come with a work permit.
It does. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next question is area code 727. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Georgia calling from Tampa, Florida.
I recognize that 727 area code. I thought it was Tampa. How are you, Georgia?
Just fine, thanks. My husband, Chuck, and I are going to be on the May tour, and we're looking forward to that. Are most U.S. Retired persons who live in Panama snowbirds, or are most of them full-timers?
That it depends on where you live. I would say that the people that live in the Coronado area, that it's probably about 50% snowbirds and 50% people that are full-time. People that live in Panama City, that live in Chitré, that live in Boquete, David, Volcan, are 95% full-time and maybe 5% snowbirds.
Okay.
So it just depends on where you live.
Okay, great. Now, you talked about how easy it is to get a car, but what if you didn't want to get a car? Is it easy to get around? Is there something like Uber or car services of some sort?
Uber, it depends on where you live. If you live in Panama City, Uber is readily available, and they even have this new thing that they added about 6 months ago that you can request an Uber driver that speaks English. Just click a button. It costs you 99 cents more to have an English-speaking driver, but that sure does come in handy sometimes. Uber is my preferred way of getting around Panama City. I don't use taxis there. I use Uber in Panama City. Now, Uber's not readily available outside of Panama City, but taxis are. And many of the taxi drivers do speak English, or at least enough to get by. And if you have a piece of paper and you write down where it is you want to go, or just kind of point and give them directions, they'll certainly get you where you want to go. Taxis are super affordable. The other thing that you'll want to take advantage of is our bus system, which is fantastic here in Panama. To take a bus all the way from David, which is on the far western side, into Panama City, which is about a seven-hour drive, is only about $15. Once you get your pensionado visa, or if you are a pensionado age and you have a visa, then it's only $10.60 to go clear across country on the bus. And this is a big double-decker Mercedes bus with reclining seats and a bathroom on the
goodness.
Bus. And to like to take a bus from Boquete into David is $1.75. And back from David back to Boquete is $1.75. To take a bus from Coronado into Panama City is about $3.50. So the bus, you're going to have many, many ways to get around without a car.
And what about, say you live in Boquete and you want to travel from one part of Boquete to another? Are there taxis that you can just call and they'll come pick
there
you
are,
up?
There are taxis that you can call, but that's the most expensive way to get around is with a taxi. Also, if you just stand out, there's these little white vans that hold about 15 people, and they zoom by houses all the time. Like if I just go up to the top of my street and I stand there, within 15 minutes one of those white buses is going to come by, and it'll say on the bus where it's going, so it's going to maybe go into Boquete. Then there's a certain place where all the white buses go in Boquete, and there'll be a sign on the bus that says where they go. So if you wanted to go to the Alto Lino part of Boquete, you just get on the Alto Lino bus, and for a dollar you can get over there. Or if you wanted to go to El Salto, there's the El Salto bus, and for a dollar, you can go to El Salto. Or you can pay $4 or $5 for the taxi, but the bus is much cheaper.
Okay. I have
now, I should warn you, I've taken the bus a couple of times, like if I was getting my car worked on, or you know, getting tires changed or getting my car detailed or something. So I've taken the bus a couple of times. When I say 15 passengers, they might pack 20 of them in there, and you might have to hold a kid or two on the way down, but that's okay.
Okay. We talked about shipping, receiving mail and packages. What about sending packages? Is that very costly to do?
No, it's very affordable. You can go to, if you're not in a hurry, it's very affordable. So you can, there's a post office in the town. You go to the post office and mail it. Or once again, you can go back to that mailboxes, et cetera, location, or Uno Express or Airbox Express, and you can mail your package there. If you're not in a hurry for it to get there, for example, to mail, I mail my kids 2 pounds of coffee from Boquete every once in a while, and it costs me about $4 to send that. But it does take 2 weeks to get there. If I needed that 2 pounds of coffee to get there quickly, it would cost about $35.
All right. I have one last question, and it's a little sensitive. I hope that's okay.
That's
fine. You know, there are some areas in central Mexico and the Caribbean where you're on a gorgeous beach, but you really can't go into the water because it's contaminated with E. coli. And in some cases, that's because, methods for getting rid of sewage aren't as high-tech as they are here in the U.S., if that's the case. I'm not even sure.
you may have that problem around the San Blas area and around, so more so on the Caribbean side, but not on the Pacific side. There's nothing that I've seen that said you can't go in the water. The bigger reason why you may not be able to go into the ocean at certain times of the year is they will have riptides, and they'll put signs up if there's riptides and advising people not to go in the water. So, but most of the time you can go in the water, and you'll be surprised how warm the water is here all year long. But occasionally we do have riptides, and then you really shouldn't go in the water.
Yes, we have those here in Florida as well. Thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 623. Is that you, Barry?
Yeah, how did you know?
I got you, your number memorized now, buddy.
You got one of them GPSs on me, like on the president?
No. I just have your phone number memorized by now.
When you see me in October, you'll remember me for real. I'm not going to talk that.
Sure.
My wife's going to put tape on my mouth. She does that periodically. My two questions, I think they're the last two I have for today, although I'm going to listen in to the end. I'm an aging diabetic. Therefore, if I have the same kind of doctor, and I understand there's an endocrinologist in Coronado who's out of this world, I have to take blood tests every 3 months or so to be sure I'm still on Earth. Is there a series of labs around, generally speaking, around Panama that can be utilized for that kind of blood work?
There are laboratories all over the country. In Boquete, I think we have 5 laboratories. And the great thing is you don't need a doctor's prescription to get lab work done. You can go and order your own lab work, whatever you want.
Is it reasonably priced?
Well, for me to get a complete lab work and your analysis, like 8-page report, is about $50 with my pensionado discount.
Oh, you got a pensionado visa?
No, I have the Friendly Nation visa, but I'm over 55, so I get the discounts.
Is that why you're so friendly all the time? Okay,
I'm friendly because I live in Panama, and it makes me happy.
Yeah, but you're from Texas, right?
Yeah, our Texans are friendly anyway.
Some of them. Okay, here's the big question. I was in communication with another service different from yours, and they said, where do you think you're going to live in Panama? And I said, well, I really want to, from what I understand, I want to live in Boquete, but I haven't got a lot of money on Social Security. How about Volcan? And they came back and said, you know, you really don't have medical facilities too close by in Volcan. Why don't you think about El Valle de Anton? I said, well, I don't know. My question
That's not true at all. They have a brand new, beautiful hospital with an emergency room that's open 24 hours in Volcan.
Really? Okay, so
yes.
My question to you is, my first choice is Boquete for all the obvious reasons. I haven't got money to buy anymore. It's a long story. I'll tell you when I see you. But I have to rent. So can I get a rental, long-term rental in Boquete for under $1,000 a month?
Yes.
Okay. You've answered my question. Wasn't that easy? And I'm going to bring my wife.
Okay, great. I look forward to meeting you both.
Maybe, but only if she doesn't give me any. My wife has a good, God help us. My wife has a question.
This is also kind of a personal, intimate question. I know that in David, that my name's Donna, by the way, and
Donna.
Although you probably know from our reservation. But anyway, I know they have a Costco equivalent in David, and
yes,
my question to you is, I have bladder issues. Do you know if incontinence supplies are readily available?
Yes, they have them at Price Mart, and they have them at the different pharmacies as well.
Terrific. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to meeting you in October.
Oh, and look forward to meeting you too.
Yeah.
Next question, area code 216. Go right ahead.
Jackie, we talk about all the good things that Panama has, and I'm just curious, what are the downsides? Like, if you had to look at things overall, what would you say are things that you don't like about Panama?
Well, like in Boquete, I live in Boquete right now. The thing I don't like is the roads that we have in Boquete. We used to have really good roads, but they tore them all up to replace the water and sewer lines, which just happened to be right down the middle of the roads. So this is like, you know, the wild, wild west our roads are right now. It's dirt roads and they're bumpy, but they just finished installing all of the pipes and they've started repaving them. The other thing is, the sidewalks are, it doesn't bother me anymore because I've lived here, but the sidewalks are not going to be level. It's going to be rough around the edges. If you need everything to look pristine, beautiful, just like the United States or Canada, then you should stay in the United States and Canada because Panama's definitely rough around the edges. The other thing that people always comment on is you're going to see trash laying alongside the road. Some places more so than other places, and so that bothers some people. It doesn't bother me. More likely to look up and see the beautiful mountains and the trees or to see the beaches than to look at the trash that's laying alongside the road. So for every negative, there's going to be a lot of pluses as well.
It definitely sounds like the pluses are a lot more than the minuses there. Thank you.
That's why I'm here. When I weigh the options of where I would want to live, I can't imagine living anywhere but right here.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Next question is area code 718. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Cynthia. I had emailed you earlier. I don't know if you answered the question, but another question I had is, how easy is it to get a visa being married to a Panamanian?
It's easy to get a visa being married to a Panamanian. If the Panamanian already has a cédula and you've been married for a long time, it's even easier. If you're married to a Panamanian that doesn't have a Panamanian cédula, then they'll have to go through that process. It's pretty much the same. You still have to do the FBI criminal report and all that stuff too. But our attorney can help you with it, no problem.
And is it a lengthy, very lengthy process?
The process is the same as it is for getting other visas. You're going to first start with a temporary visa. And the temporary visa, it's good for 6 months. During that six-month period, what they're doing is they're verifying that all of the paperwork is accurate, that there's no gotchas or anything in it, that everything that you said in there is absolutely true. And usually about 3 months after you get your temporary visa, you get an email or a call from your attorney that says your permanent visa is ready. And then you go in and pick up your permanent visa. And, of course, that's ready forever. That's a forever visa. So
okay.
The whole process from start to finish takes about 3 months. But the temporary visa, you'll be in Panama City about 5 days. And the permanent visa, you'll only be in Panama City about 2 days.
Okay, so I don't have to, like, stick around so this all happens.
No, you don't. But if you're not going to be in Panama while you're in between the temporary visa and the permanent visa, you do need to get something called a multi-entry visa stamp that's put in your passport that allows you to come and go and come and go in the country. Without that, you cannot leave the country. So you'll want to get – but your attorney will help you with that, with a multi-entry visa stamp.
Okay, because we had a hard time adding me to his Panamanian bank account. We wanted to make a joint account, and they wouldn't allow me because I didn't have this.
Well, they may not have allowed you because even if you're going to be added to a bank account, you still have to bring a bank reference letter that says you're a good person, basically. If you just walk in and you want to be added to a bank account, they won't do that. You still have to provide additional paperwork, and some banks will not add you to the bank account until you get your visa.
Yeah, that's what they told us, yeah. Like, they didn't even tell me the other requirements. They just said, no visa, no. You know, like, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Many of the banks will not open up an account for you unless you have a visa. But we have special arrangements with some banks that will open up an account for people that do not have a visa.
Oh, okay. Good to know. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Next question is area code 876.
Hi, Jackie. My name's Mandy.
I can barely hear you. Can you speak up a little bit?
Sure, yes. My name is Mandeep. I'm currently living in Jamaica, looking to move to Panama. And I wanted to check, my wife's expecting, and she's going to be delivering in August. If we do reside in Panama, what are the hospitals like and the quality? Apologies if you've answered this question already. I joined later.
That's okay. We haven't talked about the quality of the hospitals. The quality of hospitals, it depends on where you are. If you're in Panama City, you're going to have top-notch, some of the very best hospitals, John Hopkins affiliates, Cleveland Clinic affiliates. The very best of any equipment that money can buy is going to be available in Panama City. When you're further away from Panama City, some of the hospitals are better than others. So it just depends on where you're going to be. And keep in mind that not all cities have a hospital.
Okay, so and you may have covered this earlier as well, but what are good, reasonable expat areas outside of Panama City, with a reasonable quality of life and reasonable rental properties?
It depends on what price range you want to be in and how far away you want to be from Panama City. There's probably about 50 different areas that would but some areas are more expensive than others. Some areas are further away from Panama City than others. So if you send me an email to Jackie at Panama Relocation Tours with a little bit more personal information on what price point you're looking for and what amenities that you need to have, then I can give you a little bit better idea of some choices for, that would fit your criteria. Okay?
Okay, will do. And one last question, and once again, you might have answered this one. But being a British citizen, I'm assuming the best visa to get is the Friendly Nations visa. In terms of paperwork, what paperwork should I bring once I arrive, or before I arrive in the country, that will help me in getting the Friendly Nations visa?
Well, even British can get the pensionado visa. If you have a lifetime income that meets the requirements of $1,000 a month U.S. Or $1,250 a month U.S. But if you don't meet those lifetime pension requirements, then you'd have to go with a Friendly Nation visa. The number one thing that you're going to have to get is a national criminal report. So how long have you been living in Jamaica?
Slightly under 2 years.
Okay, so you're probably going to have to, I'd have to ask my attorney, but you may have to get a criminal report for Jamaica and get one for the UK also.
Oh, right, okay. Do you know if there's a way of getting one from the UK?
And then if you're both applying together, then you're going to need a certified copy of your marriage certificate also.
Okay. When you say certified, does it need to be certified locally in Panama or locally where we...
No, it'll have to be certified in the country where it was issued. It'll have to be a certified copy, and then that has to be authenticated. And it can be authenticated at the Panamanian Embassy.
Okay. How easy is it to set up a bank account whilst we're a tourist and going through the application process?
It's very easy. It depends on who you're working with. Our immigration attorney can help you set up a bank account, but she charges like $300 to help you do it. During the tour, I help all of the people that are interested on our tour set up a bank account. It doesn't cost anything. I don't charge anything to help people do it. You have to have personal references. You have to have only some banks will let people open up a bank account that do not have a visa. And the other thing, unless you're fluent in Spanish, you want to make sure that it's a bank that has online banking in English and Spanish. And there's only a few of those throughout the country.
Okay. That's it. That's the only questions I have for the moment, but I will send you an email.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I've got two more people that have questions that I'm going to take live, but before I jump to those, I want to go over to one that was emailed in by Boris that says he's retired military and he meets the $1,200 a month, but he runs a financial coaching company as well, and what type of visa would be best if he's going to be living in Panama. Well, Boris, if you're going to be doing coaching in Panama, then you have to have a work permit, and you can only get a work permit if you get the Friendly Nations visa. If your financial coaching that you're going to be doing is outside of Panama, then you could go with a pensionado visa, which is the absolute easiest visa to get, the pensionado visa. So if your financial coaching is not in Panama, then I would say go with a pensionado visa. So I hope that answers your question. And now we see who our next person is, area code 503. You're next.
Hi there. My name is Marie. I'm coming on the May tour.
Great.
I've got a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Number one, I'm coming alone, but it's actually a group of us that will be moving down there. Am I able, when opening the account, is there any way to get him, my husband, on the account at the same time?
Only if he's present.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. The other question is, one of the people coming down is disabled and therefore gets SSDI.
He didn't reach retirement age yet. So what kind of a visa would he get? Because he has his verifiable income. We're going for friendly.
Yes, but his verifiable income is not a lifetime income. So Panama doesn't recognize SSDI as lifetime income because it stops whenever he turns, when he starts withdrawing Social Security.
Okay.
So he'd have to go with a friendly nation.
Okay. That's part of what I was concerned about is how are we going to do him?
Mm-hmm.
And the other question, I had actually emailed you, but I am interested to know what is an appropriate amount to bring for cash to deposit down there?
It depends on which bank you're opening up an account with. If you open up an account during the Panama relocation tour, the bank that we'll be using in May requires $1,500 in cash to open the account. Now, they only require $1,000 has to stay in the account, but they do require $1,500 to open it.
Okay. But you can do more also, correct?
Oh, yeah, you can certainly do more, or you can wire more later, or you could do $1,500 in cash, then you could bring a personal check from the United States to deposit more with a personal check.
Okay, because with the friendly nations, don't you have to have so much deposited per person?
Friendly nations, you need to have $5,000 for one person for the friendly nations visa, and then $2,000 for each additional dependent.
Okay, and if they aren't actually dependents?
Well, I'm saying that if there's two people that are getting the friendly nation visa together, husband and wife, or, you know, mother and son or something like that, and if they're getting a friendly nation visa together, you can have a joint bank account with you both being on it. It's $5,000 for the first person, $2,000 for each additional person.
Okay, so it's me, my husband, my daughter, my son-in-law, and two grandchildren.
Yeah, so it would be $2,000 for each additional.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if we needed an additional $5,000 for one of them and, you know. All right. That sounds good. Makes me feel
okay,
a bit
but you don't want to be bringing all that cash with you. The bank will give you wiring instructions, and you can wire the additional money in after the fact.
Okay. That's why I wanted this question clarified.
Okay.
You know, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I think that's it for me right now. I think I emailed you my other questions. We'll get to them eventually.
Okay, okay, thanks. Next caller is area code 603, and that's going to be our last caller because it's already been an hour and 20 minutes.
Good evening.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a question for my wife about primary care physicians. In the U.S., she has a primary doctor that she goes to. Is it the same in Panama?
No, it's not. Whenever you have insurance, well, you can have a primary doctor that you go to all the time. And I do. I have. If I ever need to go to the doctor, I've got two different doctors, and you know, I can go to whichever doctor I want to with the health insurance that I have. So I'm not that I only have to go to a certain doctor. It works a little bit differently in Panama.
Okay.
But you'll probably want to establish a relationship with one doctor, bring down your medical records, share those with that doctor, and so they can keep it on file so that one doctor knows all about your health situations. And you may visit with a couple of different doctors in your town to find one that you feel is the right doctor for you, but you get to pick it. Keep in mind, it's only about $10 to $12 to go see a doctor, and that doesn't include insurance. If you have insurance, with insurance, depending on which insurance you have, I have international health insurance with United Healthcare that I got in Panama, and I can go to any doctor I want to.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's her main concern is finding a doctor that, you know, she's familiar with from day to day, you know, whenever she has to go.
And you want that. You want that, you know. And if you're just not feeling well, doctors even make house calls here for $25.
Wow. That's good.
Okay.
I guess that does it. We'll see you, and my wife and I will see you in 2 weeks.
All right. I look forward to meeting you.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. One more. Area code 518. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Katie. I'm coming down in May. Looking forward to it. I thank you for taking my call. I heard the last question was the last one, but I wanted to ask a question. I was planning on doing the Boca del Toro tour, and I guess I should tell you I'm coming down by myself, so I'm a single woman. I have a friend of a friend who is an expat in Boquete, and she is kind of discouraging me from going on that tour as a single woman. She said she doesn't feel that it's safe. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. If you're going to be going to Boca del Toro, I would, you know, you're going to be going over to the island that's called Isla Colón. The main town there is Boca's town. You'll most likely be taking a shuttle from Boquete. They'll take you over there. You'll be with a group of people the whole time you're on the shuttle. You'll be perfectly safe. The shuttle that takes you over there is $30 a person. It includes your water taxi ride from the mainland to the islands. And then if you're going to be doing any kind of activities over in Bocas, you should do it with a group instead of just don't go hiking off in the jungle all by yourself. That's not a good idea for anybody. You can get lost. You can get disoriented. You know, you could get bit by something and pass out and nobody would know about it. So it's fine to go over there by yourself, but when you're doing things, do it with a group. There's an excellent tour company over in Boca del Toro called Jampon Tours, J-A-M-P-O-N, which I highly recommend. It's $25 from 9 to 5. They will take you out on a boat with a group of other people, and you'll go island hopping to all the different islands. You'll see dolphins. You'll see starfish. You're going to see sloth. You'll see some exquisitely picture postcard beautiful islands, and but do things with a group. Don't just be, don't just say, oh, there's a hiking trail, I'm going to go off by myself. I wouldn't advise doing that. And it's not so much that you could get hurt, you know, that someone's going to kill you. That's what I'm concerned about is that what if you twisted your ankle and you couldn't walk out?
Right.
So, and even if you're in Boquete, I would not. You shouldn't go off on any of the hiking trails on your own.
Right.
Even if you're in, you know, it's better to be with a group.
Right. Okay. I understand that. She said that.
But just walking, you know, just walking around town, around Boca's town, to look in the different stores, to look in the grocery store. To go out to eat, it's not necessary to be with a group for that. But if you're going to go off in the jungle, do it with a group. If you're going to go, you know, out on a boat, don't just hire a water taxi, but go with a group that's going to be going.
Okay. All right. So just use common sense that we would normally use.
It's here. Just common sense, right.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Jackie. I look forward to meeting you in May.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody. This has gone on almost an hour and a half. I thought it'd be 1 hour, but I didn't know I'd have so many people that called in tonight. So I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. Thank you for your questions. I hope that it's given you the information that you need to make a decision to come and check out Panama. Join us for one of the Panama relocation tours. I know many of the people on the call are already signed up for one, but I encourage you to take a look at the Panama relocation tour website and see what we offer. It's a great way for you to see a lot of Panama, meet expats that live here, learn about getting your pet into the country, learn about how to find a rental property, how to buy a car, learn how you can save about 30 to 40% on health insurance whenever you get it here. You'll learn a whole lot of things. If you read the testimonials on the Panama Relocation Tour website, you'll see what other people have to say about the tour. Also, I should let you know that just today we've already published all of our 2018 tour dates. We had to wait until we got everything verified with different hotels because we have to book the hotels a year in advance. So they're all booked for 2018, and we still have spots available for some of our 2017 tours as well. So I want to thank you so much for being on the call. And if you have any other questions, feel free to send an email to Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at PanamaRelocationTours.com, and I'll be glad to answer your question. Good night, everybody.